was the invisible fog of school dinners. If I were a perfumier, bottling its essence, I'd say thick base notes of floor polish, cut through by astringent heart notes of disinfectant, finished with refreshing top notes of new-mown grass. On my way to work that morning, I'd heard the putt-putt of the mower making its first full cut of the school holidays. With the children now dispatched, I'd expected to walk into silence. No strident voices of teachers in lessons, no cheery buzz of high-pitched chatter at playtime and lunch break, silenced at key moments by the tolling of the old-fashioned handbell. Yet the school was awash with noise, emanating from behind Ella's door. I knocked much harder than usual to announce my arrival. Even though I've been entrusted with the entry code for the front door, I never feel I can just barge into Ella's office, whether on an errand from Hector's house or a social call after work to lure her up the high street for an early evening drink and supper at the Bluebird. Above the blaring beat, I could just hear footsteps in time with the music. Footsteps, possibly dancing. I wondered whether anyone else was in there with her, the head teacher or one of the teachers. Most people assume schools close down during the holidays, but as a former teacher myself, I know a skeleton staff is on duty all year round. My arms were aching now beneath the weight of the box of new stock, and I needed to set it down. The heat wave that had obligingly started with the school holiday was making me far warmer than was comfortable, even in the loose Indian cotton dress that I'd found in my late aunt's wardrobe. When, after my second knock, I heard no invitation to enter, I assumed Ella's music was drowning out all other sounds. So I pushed the door with my elbow. "Anybody home?" I shouted as the door slowly swung open, startling Ella, who was striding about the room. Her cheeks rosy from exertion, she crossed to her desk to mute her Bluetooth speaker before flopping down into the chair behind her desk. I set the box of books on her meeting table and flexed my arms in relief. "Sorry, Sophie, I didn't realise you were here." She gave a nervous giggle as she reached for the on button on the coffee machine. "I wasn't expecting you just yet. I thought we said you'd sort out the library this afternoon." I settled back in her comfortable visitor's chair, glad she was going to make us coffee. "I know, but it's all quiet in the tea room, so I thought I might as well deliver your latest order to get the box out of the way in our stockroom. I hope I'm not putting you out." When she waved a hand dismissively, I guessed I was putting her out, but that she didn't like to say so. She dropped a coffee pod into the top of the machine, filled a mug for me, then repeated the process for herself. The mugs bore the logos of rival photocopier brands. As I added milk from the jug on her desk, she tapped the top of her Bluetooth speaker. "There have to be compensations for being left in sole charge of the school the minute term ends." "Sole charge? Are you the only person on duty? Isn't Mrs. Broom here?" "Mrs. Broom is the head teacher." "Well, Ian's here, but he doesn't count." Ian is the school caretaker, a kindly middle-aged man I'd met through the Wendlebury Players, the village drama group. Mrs. Broom and all the teaching staff pushed off for their summer holidays as fast as felons jumping bail. They won't be until mid-August at the earliest. I'd never be allowed to play my music if Mrs. Broom were here. Although it's quite a musical school, its recorder band just isn't my vibe. From the pocket of my dress, I produced a small package and peeled back the foil wrapping to reveal two sturdy fingers of shortbread topped with caramel and chocolate. "Well, here's one of the compensations for my job. Free millionaire shortbread. It's left over from Saturday, so I can't sell it in the tea room today, even though it's perfectly edible." "Shouldn't it be called billionaire shortbread these days?" Ella seemed unusually reticent to take a piece. "According to the romance novels I read, every eligible man and his dog is a millionaire these days. Millionaires just aren't rich enough to be of any interest." I wrinkled my nose. "Hector isn't even a millionaire. And he doesn't have a dog either, although that would be easier to remedy than his wealth deficit. Still, if you will hook up with a humble shopkeeper, what do you expect? You want to shop around a little more." I took a sip of my coffee. It wasn't as nice as the coffee I make at Hector's house, but I was glad to be waited on for once. I didn't realise how much of a dog person Hector was until I got a cat. This issue worried me far more than his...